Father, I ask that if there's any sin in this building right now, may it be confessed and thrown out.
Amen.
But Father, we just praise you. We thank you for this opportunity that we can come into your presence and be with you.
Yes.
We thank you so very much for all that you've accomplished in our lives. So, Father, we just lift you up, we praise you, and we glorify you, and we thank you for all of this. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Put it back on. We're not going to take the offering now. We're going to go straight into this message. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's writing them. He wants to both correct them, correct any misunderstanding. He wants to not only encourage them, he wants to correct. Paul himself had been used of God to plant, if I may use that word, plant that church in Ephesus. He was a church planter. Challenge is a church planting ministry. We're planting churches. Don't ever lose sight of this. We're planting churches in remote jungle areas in the Philippines. And a matter of fact, we're planting churches where they had never seen a white man before. Even in this day, they had never seen a white man. And we're planting churches there. Paul was a church planter. Every church should be planting churches. So we're working among tribals in northern Luzon, and Paul was working wherever he went. Wherever he went, he was at work. So Paul had planted a church in Ephesus, and he's going to address some problems in Ephesus. He's trying to bring some correction, some understanding. And so the problem in the church was same thing we have today in the church: sin, pride, idolatry. That is in the church today.
Amen.
That's in local churches today. And so Paul is addressing that. So each church has its own problems. I grew up in churches that had their own problems. I have preached in churches that had their own problems. Churches are not without problems. To a great degree, I think a challenge is an exception. I don't know of any problems we have. We just come together and worship and praise and listen and go back home and try to live it out.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility," or if you like the word, vanity, "of their minds." Notice that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. Jameson Foster Brown puts it this way: don't waste your mental powers, your rational powers, on worthless objects. How much time do we waste on worthless objects?
Hello.
In our thinking, our processing. And so Paul is making that point here. So he says to them, prior to your conversion, you were just one in the multitude of the ungodly. What he says to them is true of those of us in this room. Prior to our conversion, each and every one of us were just one among all the ungodly.
Amen.
And you're surrounded every day of the world by those who have been there and who are there. But we've been born again.
Amen.
Born again. We've become new creations in Christ Jesus. We've been adopted into the family of God. As such, we are representatives of God, his kingdom. So he goes on, he says, don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles. We can't walk the same path that everybody around us is walking. There's got to be something different in us, and they've got to be able to see that difference. We've got to be different. Why? Because we're new creations in Christ Jesus. So he's talking to church members here. He's talking to Christians. He said, don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles. Don't live your life as they live their lives. Come out. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And so much of that is lacking today in the church. 14. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Whoa! having their understanding darkened? Do you realize until God gives you the light to believe, you're in darkness?
That's right.
Do you realize until you come to Christ, until you came to Christ, you were in a world of darkness, surrounded by citizens of darkness, but now you've come out of that world of darkness into a world of light. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, that's where we were. We were alienated from the life of God prior to salvation because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. He's talking about people. He's talking about Gentiles. And he incorporates Jews into it, but he's reminding the people of God where they are, what God has brought them out of, but what they're surrounded with every day of the world. Every day of the world, we are surrounded by those who have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. They have nothing at all in common with God. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Darkened understanding? What does that mean? Darkened, deceived, unenlightened. That's the condition. No spiritual illumination. And you are walking around people every day and you live among people every day. That describes them.
Yep.
Hear me. Every day of the world, and you're living adjacent to some of them. You're living close to some of them. You're mixing and mingling with them. You're in stores. You're shopping. Everywhere you go, you are mixing and mingling with people who are darkened in their understanding concerning spiritual things. They are deceived. They're satanically deceived, unenlightened, and have absolutely no spiritual illumination, and they're in the church.
Oh, hello.
I've been at it a while. They're in the church. I've been in churches where it manifested. I've seen it. I've heard it. Been a part of it. And it's real. And I think in many instances that we are a rare exception.
Amen.
I think realistically we are a rare exception. I'll guarantee you, if Christ were to come back today, which he's not, you say, well, how can you say that? Well, I'm studying the Bible.
Right.
And he's not going to come back for quite a while yet. This whole thing about Christ could come at any moment. He could if he wanted to, but the Word says he's not going to.
Right.
When you understand what the Word says, well, then you get in line with the Word. But if he were to come today, you'd be surprised how many pulpits would still be manned.
Hello.
How many Sunday school classes would still be manned? How many offices in the church would still be manned? Because when he comes, he raptures the saints, and the saints leave. And that would leave a host of people still going through religious motions and religious movements and any number of religious expressions of the world. Folks, this is reality.
Yes, sir.
This is reality. Not everything that is a religious organization is part of the church. You may be the only source. You understand this now. You may be the only source of light that will ever enter into some lives. Hear me. You may be the only source of light that will ever enter into some lives. And it may be just a passing moment in a department store, in a grocery store. A chance meeting, what you consider a chance meeting, but God may use you if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And if you respond as the Holy Spirit would have you to respond, even in a casual, momentary, passing moment, God can use you to impact that life.
Amen.
And impact that life to make them stop and ponder and think. And you need to understand, everywhere I go, I'm salt. I'm a preservative in the society of this nation. I'm light. I take light into darkness because everywhere I go in this life, there's darkness.
Right.
There's spiritual darkness. And you are the only ones. We, those of us who have been born again, we walk in a world of darkness. We walk into businesses that are dark. We are exposed to darkness every day of the world. And we are the only light sometimes in that situation and how many lives. It's a prolonged way to work. It's a prolonged work. What we're doing day by day by day, we've got neighbors around us. We've got people we come in contact with every day, we're the only source of light. You got to keep that in mind. You know, sometimes it's no more than a passing moment. Sometimes it's nothing more than a passing moment, and you impact that life. You impact that life by the way you respond or don't respond. Did you hear me? You impact that life by the way you react or don't react. And you got to bear that in mind. You'd be surprised how many times daily you're having just a momentary impact on another life, on another person's life, by the way that you respond, the way you react to the situations in life and the situations in their life. Never occur to you that when someone is telling you what's going on in their life and they're kind of down in the dumps and they're kind of off-center, just say, could I pray for you? Could I pray for you? You say, well, I don't know them. That doesn't keep you from praying for them, does it? God knows them. So you can still pray for them.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:19. Who? Now he's describing what you were before salvation. And he's describing those today who are without salvation, who are being past feeling. Past feeling? Past feeling, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Folks, he's describing a sin, cursed, sin-darkened world.
Yes, sir.
He's describing the people in the sin-darkened world who don't know Christ, and you're mixing and mingling with them every day. Right where you live, right where you shop, may not be right where you work. You are mixing and mingling with these people being described right here every day of the world who, being past feeling, they no longer respond. They no longer react. They don't have that sense of sensitivity. Who, being past feeling, they've given themselves over. They've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all lewdness with greediness. These are those, he's talking about those without spiritual sensitivity. They have yielded themselves to lewdness, to ungodliness, and they're embracing everything that's immoral, indecent, sexual behavior. The world is full of that today. Our nation is soaked in that today.
Amen.
I mean absolutely soaked. And I don't think a great deal of the church is sensitive to where we really are as a nation, but I'm trying to help people understand where we are as a nation. And I want you to understand where we are as a nation. But then talk about where the church was at that time. We were all there. Hello?
Hello.
We were all there.
Yes.
We were one of that crowd. We were in darkness. We didn't have the understanding. We didn't have the comprehension. We had no divine light. We had no illumination. We were walking in darkness. And you got to understand this, a sin nature. Now, this gets ugly. A sin nature expresses itself in a number of ways. Before you were saved, you expressed your sin nature in any number of ways. In your thought life, your vocabulary, the way you reacted to life and to other people and to responses, the way you responded to life, all that was a part of your life. And so before we were born again, we were doing the same thing. The church was there. The entire church, those of us who have been born again, we were one time there. We were not lovable.
No.
God loved us. No, God was the only one who could love us. Many of us, God was the only one who could love us because of what we were and the way we responded and reacted to life. You see, a sin nature, we've all had a sin nature. And a sin nature expresses itself in any number of ways. Right today, among people you're mixing and mingling with every day, sin nature. And the sin nature expresses itself in any number of ways. And you did too.
Mm-hmm.
You did too.
Oh, yeah.
In every church meeting on this Sunday morning, where any number of born-again individuals there, one time they did all kinds of ungodly activities. Their thought life, their speech, their actions, their reactions, their activities involved in all kinds of ungodly. Now, you think back over your life, don't spend too much time thinking back there because you get depressed if you do. But you think about where you used to be and where God has brought you from and where God has brought you out of and where you'd rather die than go back there again. Once you realize what God has done in your life and what the Holy Spirit of God has done and is doing, and remember this, he's not through with you. Sanctification is a progressive work. It's a progressive work of God. And I feel that too many times the church ignores this reality. that when you're born again, in that instant when you, the Holy Spirit of God moves in your life, and you realize, I'm a sinner, I have sinned, I am sinning, I am a sinner, but you regret being a sinner, and you no longer want to be a sinner. And so in your own humble way, you said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you were born again. At that moment, you become a new creation. Now listen to me carefully. At that moment, you became a new creation, but you still had a host of problems to deal with.
That's right.
Attitudes, actions, reactions is called sanctification. There are five different levels of spiritual growth. I keep telling you this. You started out as a spiritual infant, a baby, a spiritual infant. And most of us are not as far up the road as we'd like to think we are, because we've got to come through all these different levels of spiritual growth. I'd like to think that some of us in here, at least at the adolescent age anyway, I don't know that we're much further than that, but we stay with it. Progressive sanctification is what it's all about. Yield yourself day by day to progressive sanctification, meaning this, every day of the world, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God to conform you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know what most of the church think. Well, I'm saved, I'm good to go. No, you're not. Born again? Yes. Name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yes. Heaven guaranteed? Yes. Drop dead now? Go to glory. But to become more Christ-like before you go to glory is a day-by-day-by-day process.
Amen.
It's a day-by-day suppressing this, suppressing that, and being open to this and open to that. As we become more Christ-like in all that we are, all that we say, all we do, and that's what it's all about. Day by day by day, we're to become increasingly more Christ-like in every area of our life. And it starts in the home. It starts in the home, being Christ-like in the home. And to understand this, sanctification is a lifelong process. You never get through being sanctified. It is a process through which the Lord is conforming you by His Holy Spirit more and more to Christ-likeness every day of the world, if you are submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is His goal, to conform you to Christ's likeness in everything you do. We deny reality.
Amen.
We tend to deny reality. We pretend it's not a problem when it is a problem. Now let me just get up in your face. You've got attitudes that you don't want to say to God, this is a filthy, nasty, ugly, dirty, ungodly, unholy attitude.
Amen. Come on.
Don't sit there and try to look pious with me. Oh, preacher, you must be talking to them. That's not. Yes, it's you.
Amen.
It's you. You embrace the attitude. You embrace the response. You embrace the reaction. And sometimes it's just you and God, just you privately alone, you and Satan together, as he feeds your mind. As he, you say, wait a minute, I'm born again. How was Jesus tempted?
Yes, sir.
Was Jesus tempted in all points like we are?
Yes, sir.
You're saying to me that Jesus was tempted with lust?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
You say that to me? That's what the book says.
Amen.
Yep. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. You see, once you realize it's a battlefield, every day of the world, I keep telling you this, every day of the world you get up, Satan say, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm going to stir you up today. I'm going to trip you up. I'm going to deceive you. I'm going to get you to react, respond in some way that is ungodly, unholy. I'm going to penetrate your thought life. I'm going to twist you and turn you, and in one way or another, I'm going to get you to act in an unchristlike way.
Amen.
You're up against that every day of the world.
Yes, sir.
You, me, all of us together in this thing. We're up against it every day of the world. We pretend it's not a problem when there is a problem. Well, I could get ugly. I think I will. I know I shouldn't eat that third portion, but I'm going to eat it.
Amen.
No self-control in many respects, or we don't practice self-control. And now stop and ask yourself, in how many ways in my life do I not practice self-control? Well, let me ask you this. How many days of your life are you in traffic?
Every day.
If you're in traffic every day of your life, most likely you are acting in an unchristlike way every day of your life, and sometimes several times a day.
Come on.
Idiot! Where'd you get your license? Move over. Don't you understand I'm in a hurry? I'm a busy person. I'm an important person, and you're blocking me. Get out of the way, you idiot. It's true.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't express it, but you feel it. And sometimes it's not in the expression of the mouth, it's in the mind. It's what you're thinking, it's what you're embracing in your mind. Anything can be discussed. You got to remember that, listen, and just be gut level honest. There's nothing in your life that you can't discuss with your Father.
Amen.
If you're willing to face it. There's nothing, and you can talk to any three of them. I talk to all three of them. I talk to God the Father. Father, here I am again. I talk to Jesus, Lord, Savior. Here I am again. I talk to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me here. You can talk to all three of them.
Amen.
You're in the family. You've been adopted. You're in the process of being conformed to the image of Christ Jesus to become increasingly Christ-like. And while you're in the process, you're going to hit a lot of bumps in the road. You're going to have a lot of opposition. Don't give up on yourself. You can go to God the Father. You can go to Christ the Son. You can go to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I go to all three of them. But don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed. You can go. You're in the family. You've been adopted into the family of God. If you drop dead right here, right now, you'll go to glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
See, you got to get up every morning in the world saying, I'm a new creation. I've been purchased by the blood of Christ. I've been adopted in the family of God. I'm a believer priest. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm everything that God says I am. Endure hardness as a good soldier? I don't like that part, preacher. I'd rather not endure hardness, if you don't mind. But the Word of God says endure hardness as a good soldier. So, when you stop and look at the whole thing, my practice... Many can say, my practice is compromise. I like to compromise. I know I shouldn't give a little bit here and give a little bit there, but you know, you don't want to be too strict, because if you're too strict, people think you're funny. I mean, you can have a little of this and a little of that, and you can be involved in a little of this and a little of that and destroy your testimony.
Yeah.
Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Don't respond, don't react, don't involve yourself in the same things the rest of the world is involved in. I may be, and then we say this, well, I may be wrong, but I'm not as wrong as he is. We don't compare ourselves with Jesus, we compare ourselves with others. Well, yeah, I know that I'm not all I ought to be, but praise God, I'm not like him. And you just got judgmental, didn't you? You got accusatory. So, and then turn to somebody and say, I'm not as spiritual as you think I am. When you can realistically realize I'm not that spiritual, really. I mean, my reactions, my emotions. The Word says, take every thought captive. Every thought.
Yes, sir.
But you don't. And then chances are you don't confess the fact that you didn't take that thought captive.
Hello.
And so then that thought's just clogged. You see, somebody says, well, you know, preacher, no big thing. I get up in the morning, I said, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Thank you, Lord. Had it ever occurred to you, you say, Lord, forgive me for my sins? He says, which one?
Yeah.
Which specific sin are you talking about? Which one would you like me to forgive you for at this time before we get to the next one? I may be wrong, you say to yourself, but I'm not as bad as some people. And I'm not as bad as some people I know. Now we come down to verse 19 once again, Ephesians 4:19. Who being, watch this, watch the wording here, folks. Who being past feeling. They no longer feel it. Being past feeling. There's no conviction. They're not convicted. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That was you before you were born again. You got people like this in your immediate family.
Oh yeah.
You got people like this in your neighborhood. Churches have people like this. Read this again. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves, voluntarily, given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now verse 20 of Ephesians 4. But you have not so learned Christ. That is not, in my opinion, a real good, clear statement. Let me give it to you out of the basic Bible English. For this was not the teaching of Christ, which was given to you. When you go with what Christ said, and you align yourself with the teaching of Christ, and you submit and surrender to his teaching, you're okay. You can make it. You can get through all that. But so much of what we do, so much that these people, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, and you're surrounded with this every day. There are those that have been taught to forsake ungodliness. There's those who have not been taught that. Let me say it again. Some have been taught to forsake ungodliness. Others have not been taught that. Folks, how can our nation embrace what it embraces? How can the nation embrace what it embraces if the church is what she's supposed to be? How do we put our approval on same-sex unions? How do we put our approval on transgenderism? How do we put our approval on so much that is in the warp and the woof of this nation as a church? How does the church, and yet the church so many times won't even speak to those issues. Doesn't even address those issues. Verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The question is, have you had ears to hear? Have you had ears to hear? And if you had ears to hear, do you have, let me ask you now, do you have spiritual sensitivity? Are you sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that the moment you are contemplating a thing or have been involved in a thing or have responded or reacted in a way that is unchristlike, that in that split second the Spirit of God can prompt you? And do you at that time acknowledge that transgression? And do you at that time confess that transgression? Do you? You see, this is what the Christ-like walk is all about. It's continually becoming more Christ-like. If I'm going to become more Christ-like, I've got to be sensitive to those things that are in my life that are un-Christ-like.
Amen.
That includes my thought life. That includes my motives. You'd be surprised how many times you act and speak out of a wrong motive. Because you never take the time to say, why am I saying it this way? Why am I doing it this way? What is my motive in doing this? We like to think that we're more spiritual than we are.
Yes.
We like to think that. But the truth of the matter is, we're not. Some listen without hearing. You got to listen, folks. This morning in churches all over America, you got people who went in, sat down, tuned in to part of the message, will get up and walk up, and couldn't tell you the time to get through eating lunch what the message was all about. You got people just don't have ears to hear. Jesus, what, I think 11 times, said he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear? Do you have ears to hear the reality and the depth of the truth in that scriptural statement? Some listen without hearing. I've been up against that for a long time. Some listen without hearing. They listen to what you're saying. It happens in the home. The wife is talking to the husband. He doesn't hear a word she says. The husband speaks to the wife. She doesn't hear a word he says. Is this reality or not?
Yes, sir.
See, we don't like to admit those things. We don't like to admit our weakness there, our failure there. Has it ever occurred to you that sometimes when you're talking to the other person and you know they're not listening, just to shut up and see how long it takes them to realize you're no longer talking? You say, oh, come on, it's reality. Mm-hmm. It's reality. Well, what about our situation with the Lord then? How many times is he speaking and we're not listening? How many times? How many times a day? The Holy Spirit doesn't slap you. The Holy Spirit doesn't grab you and shake you. The Holy Spirit is a quiet, gentle spirit. And he will prompt. He will prompt. But he won't slam you up against the wall. But you have to be sensitive. Now, let me ask you this. How often do you say, oh, Lord God, give me sensitivity to your Holy Spirit? How often do you ask the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, please, please make me sensitive to your operation in my life? I want to be so sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, that if you just blow, breathe against my spirit, I got it. I've just been corrected. I've just been told that I was wrong in what I said. I was wrong in what I did. I was wrong in that attitude. I was wrong in that reaction. I was wrong in that response. Folks, we're up against this every day, but that is blocking our prayer life.
Amen.
That is blocking our prayer life. I can't afford to have my prayer life blocked, nor can you.
No.
Not the condition of this world today. I cannot afford to have my prayer life blocked. That's where I've got to be sensitive. You've got to be sensitive. So, listen, what I hear happens every day. Happens in the family. Happens in the marriage. Happens in the church. People are listening, but not hearing. They're just not hearing what's being said. Then there's those who just ignore what they hear. Hello.
Hello.
There are those who just ignore what they hear. Has he ever ignored anything you were saying?
How many times today?
Excuse me?
I said how many times today?
How many times a day?
Today.
Today. Now you just ignored what she said. Do you know what he said? You admitting that sometimes you ignore what he says? Same thing with the Lord. We all do it, folks.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's not going to grab you by the collar and shake you and say, listen to me. Soft, gentle voice. Just a little touch, a little breath across the spirit. And you have to be spirit sensitive to receive that correction from the Holy Spirit. And if you don't receive that correction from the Holy Spirit, that's going to interfere with your prayer life. And you've got some prayers you need desperately answered.
Amen.
I'm expecting a move of God in here this morning.
Amen.
No, just hear me. I am expecting. It started yesterday afternoon sometime. I'm expecting a move of God because we got two or three people here that need a touch from God this morning. I've seen God move. You've heard this, some of you, others haven't. Donnie, Dan, Wayne, I were going up to Upworth by the sea. I was doing a prayer retreat up there. And Jesse Coburn was laying in St. Vincent's Hospital. And they said he would be dead before nightfall. They had tubes all over him, had tubes running here, there, and everywhere. That morning on my knees praying for Jesse, I heard the Holy Spirit, and the only time I've ever heard this, one time, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, on your way out of town, stop and pray for Jesse. I said, what do I pray? Rebuke the spirit of death. Rebuke the spirit of death, all right? So I picked the guys up at the church. I said, on the way out of town, we've got to stop at the hospital. So we stopped and went in, and we went into intensive care. Jesse's got tubes plugged in everywhere, meters, everything. And I put my finger down his hand. I said, Jesse, this is preacher. If you can hear me, squeeze my hand. There was a little squeeze. I said, Jesse, I'm fixing to pray something, but don't let it upset you. Understand? He squeezed my hand. So I did what the Lord told me to do. I laid my hands on him. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of death. I rebuke you, spirit of death. I rebuke you. That's it. And I told the guys, let's go. So we walked out, and his family was coming down the hallway, and they're from Illinois or somewhere up there, and they were weeping and crying. I said, why are you crying? They said, Jess is dying. I said, he is not dying. He'll be in church in 2 weeks. So we went to do the prayer retreat. 2 weeks later, there's Jesse standing over there raising his hands. Because after we left that day, after we left St. Vincent's Hospital, they came in within 2 hours and started unplugging all the wires that was hooked to him, put him in a regular room, and a couple of days later discharged him, sent him out.
Because God did that.
It's a God thing.
Yeah.
I'm in Baguio doing a prayer retreat among Filipino pastors. We did the prayer retreat. Folks, understand, this has nothing to do with me.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with God. But we're doing the prayer retreat, and a preacher came to me when we finished the prayer retreat. A pastor said, would you stop on the way back to Manila, and would you pray for my wife? I said, sure, what's the problem? He said, she's in the hospital. Well, I had a couple of guys from the church with me, and so we had the pastor with us, and we went to the place he called a hospital. Most of you wouldn't leave your dog in there. It was pathetic. And this woman is laying there. She's swollen her face, her throat, her arms, everything is swollen. And she's laying there with sweat roaring off her like you had a water hose just putting it on her. And they were going to transport her the next morning to Manila and put her in a regular general hospital down there. I'm just trying to hear God. That's the whole key, is hear God. I walked in. Told the guys, I said, lay your hands on her. And I laid my hands on her, and I prayed, and I asked the Holy Spirit of God to flood her, fill her. I asked her in Jesus' name, be healed. And I prayed healing in Jesus' name. And when I got through praying, I didn't feel anything. When I got through praying, I said, well, we'll do that with the Lord. And we left. We found out the next morning that they discharged her and sent her home. They had sent her down to Manila, to the big hospital down there, because we left and God healed her. Sweating went down, the perspiration quit, she was healed. She got and went home. You see, our problem today, folks, I didn't mean to get into all this, but the church doesn't believe God. The church doesn't believe the word of God. When I say the church does, but the organization called the church doesn't. And I'm saying to you that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we've got a couple of people here this morning that need a touch from God, and we're going to pray for them this morning, and I'm trusting God to do what only God can do.
Amen.
Back to the message. There are those who listen without hearing, and there are those who ignore what they hear, and that happens in a number of settings. The word of Jesus, Matthew 11:15, Jesus kept saying, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. 8 times in the New Testament, twice in the Old Testament, that is in Scripture. He that hath ears to hear. Now, you've got to ask yourself, do I have ears to hear? No. Do I have ears to hear? Do I have the ears to hear the truth of the Word of God? Do my reactions in life, do my responses in life, do my reactions to the events of life, do my responses to the reactions in life show that I have received the Word of God and that I am receiving and believing and embracing the Word of God and conducting my life in accordance with the Word of God? Am I taking every thought captive? Am I taking every reaction captive to the Lord? Am I responding or reacting in any unchrist-like way in my attitudes, in my actions, reactions? Folks, all of this is blocking our prayer life.
Amen.
Anything and everything that is in my life that is ungodly and unholy will block my prayer life, which is why I try to keep my prayer life clean. Now, the Word of God says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. The truth is not in you. So you're going to have a certain amount of sin in your life because you never quit sinning. You're a new creation, but you're still going to have sin in your life. But when the Holy Spirit prompts you, and when you examine your life, when I was going to that prayer retreat with Brother Smith, I heard we had to make a sin list. I said, whew, I'll get a jump on that. So I got my paper, pencil and paper out, and I started writing down my sin. Folks, I had 4 pages. I had 4 pages of sin. I said, okay, I'm ready for your prayer retreat now, Bertha. I got the Lord showed me 6 or 7 more. As I recall, there were 67 more sins. Have you ever sat down? And so I'm going to make a note here, and I'm going to write down every sin that I know is in my life. You say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Which one? Well, I ain't going there, Lord. You know my sins. Forgive my sins. Which one? I'm giving, for those of you who have ears to hear, I'm giving you some insight this morning to prayer power. I cannot rush into the presence of Holy God with known, unconfessed sin in my life and be heard. Not to the degree I want to be heard. Notice I said known, unconfessed sin. It is progressive sanctification. And you are doing things and saying things today and thinking things and retaining thought lives, retaining thought patterns that you will not cling to maybe next year, maybe 6 months from now. The key is to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and when He brushes against your spirit with just a little, don't like the attitude, don't like the reaction, don't like the response, get it right with God. Call it what He calls it. Call it sin. You need spirit sensitivity to do that. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Put off and put on. That's the name of the message. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Volitional. Put off that which is unlike Christ. You've got to evaluate your thought life. You've got to evaluate your reactions, responses. You've got to evaluate your attitudes. But put off anything and everything in your life that is not Christ-like, and put on that which is Christ-like. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Receive and develop Christ-likeness. Receive and develop Christ-likeness every day. We need prayer power, folks.
Amen.
You need prayer power. I need prayer power. We as the church need prayer power. And so we must be, we have to receive and develop Christ-likeness every day of the world. Ephesians 4:24, our last verse. And that you put on, notice it's volitional. God's not going to come down and grab you by the throat and say, put on a new man. He says, get up every morning of the world. As an act of your will, submit and surrender to my lordship. Submit and surrender to my lordship. Make me Lord of your life. Well, Jesus, if you're going to be Lord of my life, there's some things in my life that can no longer remain in my life.
Amen.
There's some attitudes. There's some reactions. There's some responses. That if you're going to be Lord of my life, I cannot retain these things in my life. Are you prejudiced? What are some of the attitudes that you hold in life that are unchristlike? They're blocking your prayer life. I've got to have prayer power. You've got to have prayer power. And to the degree that I allow anything to remain in my life that is unchristlike, that is blocking my prayer life. Once again, the last verse. And that you put on, see, it's volitional. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what you are as one born again. You are a new creation.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. Donna, come up here. Kathy, come up here. I'm just trying to simply hear and obey God. Have a seat. I need a couple of elders. Quinn, Mike, come and stand behind them and lay your hands on them. Kathy is facing a new round of surgery unless God moves. Don is facing surgery unless God moves. We have a couple of situations here. And I'm asking God this morning to touch them. I'm asking God to do what only God can do.
Amen.
Medical science cannot heal me. It can treat the symptoms. They can cut this and cut that and burn this and burn that and do this and do that, but they can't heal. Only God can heal. And I'm going to lay hands on you. And I'm going to lay hands on you. And the elders are going to lay hands on you. And we're going to pray. We're going to do what the Word of God says. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders. Let them pray. Lay hands on them. Pray for them. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And I want everybody in this room saying, Lord, hear this prayer for Kathy. Hear this prayer for Donna. I want you doing that. I serve a prayer-answering God. I have seen, but here's the thing that amazes me. I have seen a move of God on the battlefield, in the mission field, but I don't see here in the States. You know why? They don't have the avenues that we have. See, here we say, well, if God doesn't fix it, they will. Over there, they can't say that. At their best, they can't say that. God has to do it. I'm going to trust God to do it. Quinn, lay a hand on her, and then we're going to lay both hands on her. Father God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
As she has heard what the doctors have to say, now we want to hear what you have to say.
Amen.
And Jesus, best I know my heart, I'm just trying to hear you and obey you this morning. Kathy, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak relief.
Yes.
I speak relief and progressive, if not instant, healing to you. And Father God, I'm asking you to let faith arise in her. And in the name of Jesus, I come against every ancestral sin, every generational curse, anything and everything in her bloodline that has been passed down through the generations. In the strong and mighty name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke every work of Satan that's gained access to her through the sins of the fathers.
Amen.
And I bless you, Kathy.
Yes.
In the name that's above every name, Jesus the Christ, I bless you.
Yes, Lord.
And now, Father, I ask you to honor the blessing.
Yes.
Just honor, and you get all the glory, Father.
Yes.
You get all the glory.
That's right. Yes.
And this we confirm in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to anoint you with oil in a moment. Now we come to you. Father God, we continue the name of Jesus. Bring him into before your throne now, Lord God. Lord, we ask you to touch her. Lord, the doctor says she's going to require surgery. Father God, in the holy and precious name of Jesus, we break the power of every ancestral sin, every ancestral curse, every generational sin or curse in her bloodline, and we come against anything and everything the enemy has instigated in her body.
Amen.
Her body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and Satan, you are a trespasser.
Right.
And in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We collectively, corporately rebuke you as a church.
Yes.
As a family of God, we rebuke you, Satan.
Yes, Lord.
And now we speak peace and healing and restoration. And Father, we're going to ask you, to bring now recovery and restoration and healing in the name of Jesus, and you get all the glory, honor, and praise.
Right.
And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Now I'm going to do what the Bible says. We're going to anoint you with oil. Just exactly what the Word of God. Let the elders pray for them. Let the elders anoint them. And you see, I still believe in this.
Amen.
I believe the Word of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I anoint you with oil,
Amen.
Symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm asking you, Lord God Almighty, Jehovah God, Jesus, I'm asking you to hear and answer our prayer.
Yes.
Bring healing, restoration.
Yes,
we ask in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we anoint Kathy with this oil, symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And we're asking you to do what only you can do, Jesus.
Amen.
Doctors can't do it, Father. So we're asking you to have your own way. But bring relief, bring healing, bring restoration, Father God.
Yes.
And once again, in the name of Christ Jesus, we stand against everything in the bloodline
yes.
that has been infected by Satan, Lord God.
Yes.
And we speak relief, healing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
While we're at it, why don't we hit her too? You got an objection to us praying for you?
No.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against every ancestral spirit, every ancestral curse in this bloodline, every generational curse, and I speak healing to your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and Satan, you are a trespasser.
Amen.
And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I command you to loose your hold and leave her in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I plead the blood of Christ to cover her,
yes.
a hedge about her, and I break the power of every ancestral
yes.
curse and
yes.
spirit in her bloodline.
Break
now bring healing in Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to believe God.
Yes,
amen.
We're going to leave the results up to him. We leave the timing up to him.
That's right.
I have seen God work where he brought progressive healing. Mm-hmm. I've seen God work where he brought instant healing.
Amen.
We stay off his throne.
That's right.
We stay off his throne.
Right.
And let him be God.
Amen.
I felt strongly impressed to do what I just did.
Good.
All I did was obey. We'll leave the results up to God.
Amen.
We just obey. And I don't know. You know, you're going to wake up some morning and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something's different. You don't, hear me carefully now. I don't pick and choose the time and the place. I just try to respond to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just respond to the Holy Spirit. So we want God to be honored and God to be glorified in the way he hears and answers the prayer. We're going to take the cup now and the bread. Come on up and get your cup, get your bread, and go back to the seat. We're going to take it together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I walk around the house singing all the time.
Amen.
Just me and the Lord sometime.
Yes,
the bread represents the body. They took the body, they scourged it, lashed it, blood flowing. Can't imagine the pain because he was on a human body. They took the body and then nailed it to a cross. Nailed it to a cross. Nails in the hands, the feet. Lifted the cross up and dropped it into the ground. What that must have felt like, ripping and tearing. Jesus hanging there, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment on that cross, understand this, he took the sins of each and every one of us who are believers. He took every sin we ever committed, every sin we will ever commit, and he put that sin to death in himself. Yes, God forgives sin, but he forgives sin on the basis of forgiving the sinner, because the sins are taken off the sinner, placed on Christ, and put to death in Christ. This piece of bread represents the body of Christ. We take this in submission to him with thanksgiving. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this which represents your body, Jesus. This piece of bread represents your body. And we thank you. We thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you that you reached back into eternity past and pulled every sin that would be confessed to yourself.
Amen.
Pulled into our day. Pull the sins of ourselves to you.
Yes.
And those sins were put to death in you. And praise God, we're new creations.
Amen.
We are new creations. And Father, we thank you for this which represents your body. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Then you took the cup. This is my blood, which was shed for you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The only thing that would cleanse us from our sins had to be a blood sacrifice. All those animals in the Old Testament that were offered as blood sacrifices died looking at Calvary, where the Lamb of God would be nailed. And this which represents the blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no such thing as a bloodless Christianity.
Amen.
The blood that cleanses us. Father God, I want to thank you. You became flesh. Called yourself Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
I thank you that you walked among men. You were tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin.
Amen.
And we thank you for that. And on that cross, you cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? You had my sins on you. You had the sins of every individual in this room on you.
Yes.
You had the sins of every true member of the church on you. And in that awful moment in time and eternity, God the Father could not countenance God the Son. And God the Son hanging on that cross, isolated from God the Father. Angels, no doubt, standing and wishing they could be released to go down and wipe out those who were crucifying the Lord. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin.
No.
But it had to be sinless blood.
Yes.
And yours was the only human sacrifice. This morning, we don't take this lightly, Lord. We thank you for what you did. We receive this as a token of your blood. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Well, hearts, that was our Sunday morning service last Sunday. Thank you for being a part of it today, and may God bless you real good.